Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're diving into something a bit different. We're looking at an academic paper all about strategic road mapping.
Road mapping.
Yeah. I know. It might not sound like the most thrilling topic.
Right.
But stick with us. This deep dive is going to take us behind the scenes to see how road mapping really works when it comes to innovation. Think of it like peeking behind the curtain to see how companies actually plan for the future.
I like that. Behind the curtain. So what makes this paper stand out? There's a ton of stuff out there about road mapping already.
Well, that's the thing. This one is really interesting because it goes beyond just the typical how-to guides.
Yeah.
It gets into the nitty-gritty of how people actually use roadmaps.
Okay, so it's more practical, less theoretical.
Exactly. And they use a case study from a real company, Hydro-Québec. They're a big player in the Canadian energy sector, and they had to deal with a lot of changes in their industry. So their road mapping process was really in-depth.
Makes sense. Adapting to change is crucial these days.
Absolutely. And right from the beginning, the paper highlights something that kind of surprised me.
Oh, what's that?
There's so much research on like the steps and the mechanics of road mapping.
Yeah, the how-to stuff.
Right. But almost no one looks at the social dynamics and how those impact things.
Interesting. Why do you think that is? What's the big deal about understanding the human side of all this, especially for managing innovation?
Well, I was wondering the same thing. What are your thoughts? I mean, why is it so important?
You know, I think we often see these tools like roadmaps as being very neutral, but we forget they're being used by people, and people have their own motivations and priorities.
That's a great point.
Like, it's kind of like thinking a hammer is only for building when someone could easily use it to, you know, tear something down.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Right.
So are you saying that in road mapping, those personal motivations can affect how the roadmap is made and even how well it works in the end?
Absolutely. And that's really what's key for managing innovation. Because a roadmap that just sits on a shelf, it's useless.
True.
What really matters is how it's put into action. But for that to happen, people need to understand it, believe in it, and actually use it to make decisions.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not enough to have a pretty roadmap. You need everyone on board and actually using it as a guide.
Exactly. And this is where the study's findings become really insightful. They found three key functions of road mapping.
Oh, okay. Lay them on me.
We've got the instrumental function, the symbolic function, and this one might surprise you, the political function.
Political. Now, that is not a word I usually hear alongside strategic planning. Sounds like things could get interesting behind the scenes.
Oh, you could say that. Think about it. A roadmap, especially in a big company, it's like a blueprint for the future. Mm-hmm. It lays out priorities, what projects get resources, and basically shapes the direction the company's going to go in.
Right. High stakes.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a lot at stake, and that naturally leads to power dynamics.
Okay. You've definitely piqued my interest now. Let's break down each of these functions and see how they played out in that Hydro-Québec case. So first up, the instrumental function. This seems like the most, I don't know, straightforward one.
Yeah, it is in a way. The researchers describe the whole road mapping process as a capture artifact.
Capture artifact.
Yeah, because it brings together all these different types of knowledge and perspectives from across the organization. It forces people to really clarify what they're assuming and what they're expecting.
I see.
Like even simple words they found could have completely different meanings for different teams at Hydro-Québec.
Oh, wow. I bet that led to some interesting conversations. I remember the paper mentioned something about that.
Definitely. For example, when they talked about the future of the power grid, the word reliability had a totally different meaning for the engineers in charge of the infrastructure versus, say, the customer service team. The road mapping process forced them to confront those differences.
Makes sense. Everyone's coming at it from their own angle.
Right. And that helped them create a much more robust and well-rounded plan in the end.
So it's like, I don't know, those team building exercises where you have to build a tower out of spaghetti and marshmallows.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The value isn't just the tower itself. It's about the communication and teamwork that happened along the way.
Exactly. And that has huge implications when it comes to innovation management.
How so?
Well, think about it. If you can iron out those differences early on, you can avoid costly mistakes and wasted resources later down the line.
Ah, I see.
And once the roadmap is done, it becomes this tool to align everyone's decisions and actions, you know, keep everyone moving towards those shared innovation goals.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's almost like road mapping, when it's done well, can help break down those silos that often exist in big companies.
Yeah.
You know, where departments end up working against each other without realizing it.
Absolutely. And that actually leads us nicely to the second function, the symbolic function.
Okay, this is where things start to get even more interesting. Tell me more.
Well, as we've been discussing, roadmaps aren't just practical tools. They take on a symbolic meaning within a company.
I like that.
They can be a rallying cry for change, a symbol of a shared vision for the future. And that can be a powerful motivator for innovation.
Yeah, if everyone feels like they're part of something bigger, all working towards the same goals, that's got to boost morale and creativity.
Exactly. And the Hydro-Québec studies showed exactly that. They quote one manager who said that roadmapping was a cultural change for the company, a way to empower employees and get them excited about the future. It even impacted how they communicated with stakeholders outside the company.
So it's like a company-wide pep rally, but with like way more substance and long-term impact.
Exactly. And this symbolic function, it's especially relevant for managing innovation.
How so?
Because that shared vision and excitement for the future, it creates an environment where people are more supportive of taking risks, trying new things, and ultimately coming up with those breakthrough ideas that drive innovation.
That makes sense. Now, I can't forget about that third function, the one that really piqued my curiosity, the political function.
Ah, yes, the political side of things.
What's the deal with that?
Well, this is where things can get a bit more, complicated.
All right, give me the juicy details. What did the researchers see happening at Hydro-Québec?
So even though there was a lot of collaboration during the process, they noticed that different departments and researchers, they were kind of vying for influence.
In what way?
They wanted their areas of expertise reflected in the roadmap and their projects to be prioritized.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Of course.
As you said earlier, there's a lot riding on a company's future direction. It's only natural for people to advocate for what they believe in.
Absolutely. And it's important to understand this isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just, you know, a reflection of the fact that resources are limited and decisions have to be made. The key is to manage these political dynamics effectively.
Right.
So that the roadmap maintains its legitimacy and can actually get things done.
So how do you do that? How do you navigate this political side of things without it getting out of hand?
Ah, that is the million-dollar question. And it's something that we're going to dive into much deeper in the next part of our deep dive. But for now, let me just say this. It involves being aware of those power dynamics, ensuring everyone has a chance to have their voice heard, and ultimately making sure the roadmap reflects a shared vision, not just the agenda of a few people.
I can't wait to hear more about how to strike that balance, but I think we've given our listeners plenty to think about for now.
Absolutely. It's amazing how something as, you know, seemingly simple as a roadmap can reveal so much about how a company really functions.
Yeah, that's a great point. We'll be back soon with part two, where we'll dig even deeper into the political side of roadmapping and how to manage it effectively.
And that's where the real challenge lies for anyone using these roadmaps to manage innovation. You know, recognizing those political dynamics is one thing, but figuring out how to actually deal with them effectively, that's a whole other ballgame.
It does sound like walking a tightrope. Too much control from the top, and you risk squashing all the creativity and buy-in.
Yeah.
But give people too much freedom, and it could just turn into chaos.
Exactly. And this is where understanding affordances can be super helpful. Remember how we talked about affordances being those possibilities for action that are kind of built into any object or tool?
Yeah. Like the hammer example. You can be used to build something or break something, depending on who's using it.
Right. And the same goes for roadmaps. They have these built-in possibilities for influence, for negotiation, even for resistance. And this paper argues that understanding those affordances is key to successfully navigating the political landscape.
Okay, I'm following you so far. But can we get a bit more specific? What are some examples of those political affordances that someone leading a roadmapping process needs to be aware of?
Sure. So one of the biggest ones is the power to set the agenda. By controlling the scope of the roadmap, the time frame, who's involved, you're essentially shaping the playing field for innovation. And that can be a powerful way to drive change. But it also means that certain voices might be excluded. Certain perspectives might get sidelined.
Right. If you're only looking at the problem from one angle, you're going to miss out on potential solutions.
Absolutely. Another political affordance is the power to control resources.
Resources?
Yeah. So once the roadmap is finalized, it often becomes the basis for decisions about funding, staffing, you know, all those essential resources. Mm. And naturally, those who have more influence over the roadmap have more power to steer those resources towards their preferred projects.
Ah, so it's like a strategy game where everyone's trying to get their projects funded and their ideas move forward.
It's a good way to put it. And like any strategic game, there are going to be winners and losers. The researchers observed that at Hydro-Québec, the road mapping process actually created some tension, even some resentment.
Yeah.
Among those who felt like their expertise wasn't being valued or their projects were being ignored.
That makes sense. It's bound to happen. So how do you prevent that kind of negativity from derailing the whole process?
Well, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. But there are some things you can do to minimize the risks.
Okay, I'm all ears.
The first, and probably most important, is transparency. Making the process as open and inclusive as possible helps build trust and reduces that perception of favoritism.
So no secret meetings or hidden agendas?
Ideally not. Another essential strategy is to constantly emphasize that shared vision. The roadmap shouldn't be seen as a tool for individual gain, but as a collective effort to create a better future for everyone in the organization.
That makes sense. If everyone feels like they're working towards a common goal, there's less incentive to see each other as competition.
Exactly. And finally, be prepared for resistance. As we saw with Hydro-Québec, not everyone's going to be thrilled about the changes the roadmap is proposing. Some might feel threatened, others might just be skeptical.
Well, yeah, that's natural in any organization. So how do you deal with that? Do you just ignore it or try to force people to get on board?
Neither. The best way to handle resistance is to acknowledge it directly. Listen to people's concerns, validate their perspectives, and see if you can find ways to integrate those concerns into the roadmap.
So it's really all about communication, collaboration, and remembering that roadmaps are ultimately about people.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that roadmapping, like any tool for managing innovation, is fundamentally a social process. And to do it well, you need to put just as much effort into managing those human dynamics as you do into the technical details.
That's a great point. So before we get too lost in the weeds of implementation, can we zoom back out to the big picture? Mm. What does all this mean for someone who wants to use roadmaps effectively to manage innovation?
Right. That's the core question. And I think the most important takeaway here is that roadmapping can be a very powerful tool, but it's not some magical solution you can just plug in and expect instant results. To really make it work, you need to go into it with a deep understanding of its complexities, both the technical and the social aspects.
So it's like driving a high-performance sports car. It has the potential to get you where you want to go fast.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't know how to handle it properly, you could end up crashing and burning.
I like that analogy. And to continue with that metaphor, you also need to make sure you're heading in the right direction. A roadmap is only as good as the vision it's based on.
Right. It's easy to get so caught up in the steps and processes that we forget to step back and consider the bigger picture.
It happens all the time. So if you're thinking about using roadmaps in your organization, here are a few key things to keep in mind.
All right, lay it on me.
First, be crystal clear about your goals. What are you hoping to achieve with this roadmap? What kind of innovation are you trying to foster? What are the biggest challenges and opportunities you're facing? Once you have a solid vision, then you can start building a roadmap that supports it.
Start with a destination in mind and then figure out the best route to get there.
Exactly. Second, make sure you involve the right people. Don't just limit the process to senior management or a few experts. Cast a wider net. Bring in a variety of perspectives from different departments, different levels within the organization.
I see.
This not only helps you create a more well-rounded roadmap, but it also gets people invested from the very beginning.
It makes sense. If people feel like they've had a voice in the process, they're much more likely to support the outcome.
Absolutely. Third, be prepared to adapt and adjust along the way. Roadmapping isn't a one-time exercise, it's an ongoing process. You need to constantly review, update, and make changes based on feedback from your team and, you know, the ever-changing circumstances of the business world.
So it's more like a living document than a static plan.
That's a great way to put it. And finally, remember that roadmapping is just one tool in your innovation toolkit.
Right.
It's not a replacement for strong leadership, a supportive company culture, or a willingness to experiment and learn from your mistakes.
You could have the most amazing roadmap ever created, but if you don't have the right environment, it's not going to be effective.
Well said. And I think that brings us back to the heart of this entire deep dive. It's not just about the mechanics of building a roadmap. It's about understanding how roadmaps fit into the bigger picture of how we manage innovation, how we make decisions, and ultimately, how we shape the future.
I love that. It reminds us that even when we're dealing with, you know, technical tools and processes, it always comes back to people and relationships.
Exactly.
Right.
And as we move further into this century, that human-centered approach to innovation is only going to become more and more crucial.
Couldn't agree more. I think we've covered a lot of ground today. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought-provoking question. Something to get those innovation juices flowing.
I always enjoy your thought-provoking questions. What do you have for us today?
Okay, so imagine you're leading an innovation initiative in your company. You've got a great team, a clear vision, and you're all set to create a roadmap for success. But you also know about all the potential pitfalls we've talked about today. The political dynamics, the resistance to change, the danger of ending up with a roadmap that just gathers dust instead of driving real action.
Okay, I can practically hear the wheels turning in our listeners' minds. So what's the question?
Here it is. How would you use the insights from this deep dive, the idea affordances, the understanding of those instrumental, symbolic, and political functions to make sure your roadmap doesn't just become another document, but actually ignites passion and leads to tangible change within your organization?
That's a fantastic question. It really challenges our listeners to go beyond the theory and think practically about how to apply these concepts in their own work.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, innovation isn't about creating documents. It's about creating a better future. And road mapping, when done right, can be a powerful tool to help us get there.
Couldn't agree more. It's about using these tools thoughtfully, strategically, and with a deep understanding of the human side of innovation.
As we wrap up this deep dive into the world of strategic road mapping, it's clear that we've gone way beyond the basics of just like how to create one. We've really explored how roadmaps can be such powerful tools for managing innovation and change, especially when we think about that human element.
Yeah, and we really dug into the idea that a roadmap isn't just some neutral document, right? It has these inherent possibilities for influence, negotiation, even resistance, those affordances, as the paper calls them.
You know, that concept of affordances has really stuck with me. It's a fantastic reminder that even seemingly straightforward tools, right, they can be used in all sorts of ways, both positive and negative.
It all comes down to the intentions and motivations of the people using them.
Exactly. It really emphasizes that even when we're talking about strategy, technology, all that businessy stuff, it still all comes back to that human factor.
Absolutely. And as the world becomes even more, you know, driven by technology and disruption, taking that human-centered approach to innovation is only going to become more important.
100% agree. But before we sign off, I want to revisit that thought-provoking question I posed earlier. How can we make sure our roadmaps actually lead to change and don't just end up collecting dust?
Well, one of the key takeaways from this deep dive is that road mapping isn't a solo sport. You need a team effort, a spirit of collaboration, and a shared understanding of the goals and the challenges.
So it's not enough for like a leader to have a brilliant vision. They actually need to bring everyone along for the ride.
Exactly. That means fostering a culture of transparency where people feel comfortable sharing their ideas, their concerns, and even, you know, their disagreements.
Yeah, because those different perspectives and even disagreements, they can actually be really valuable.
Exactly.
They can help you see blind spots, challenge your assumptions, and ultimately lead to more innovative solutions.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's also crucial to remember that road mapping, it's not a one and done kind of thing.
Right.
It's iterative. You're not creating a perfect, unchangeable document. Instead, it's about being willing to constantly adapt, refine, and even change direction based on feedback and, you know, how things are constantly developing.
So be flexible, be agile, and embrace the unexpected.
Exactly. And as you're navigating all those twists and turns, keep that end goal in mind. What are you ultimately trying to achieve? How will this roadmap create value for your customers, your employees, the world?
Like having a compass to make sure you don't lose sight of true north, even when the path gets a little rocky.
That's a great way to put it. So for all our listeners out there who are starting their own innovation journeys, I encourage you to approach road mapping with curiosity, a collaborative spirit, and a deep commitment to building a better future.
And don't forget to have some fun along the way. The road to innovation might not always be predictable, but it's always an adventure.
Well said.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into strategic road mapping. We hope you've enjoyed exploring this topic with us.
And we hope you'll join us next time for another fascinating exploration into the world of knowledge and ideas.
Until then, keep learning, keep innovating, and keep diving deep.